you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are so good. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Noste hasta kati levrebe ke tonda nandalamo sivre. Kerevrebe ke tubri hasta boso kotun lambre esta masa kati shilovra. Kerevrebe ke tovra hasindere nandalamo sovra bakotave. Esto labra barabroko so labra boko shita chasa barabroko si. Ashka labra. Bring some ushers up here, please. Just bring some ushers up. O salavra bakoto lavra bako sivre beheshito. O salavra bakoto ndarandala mo savre bere bako som. Osta basa. Osta bas koshito salavra. Tilavre beheto lehata ndarala mo sim. Rehe savra bako tore riasa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up his name, Lord. Just praise him. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. 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 Shishyachosh. Shikitomasta. Besotoso. Masido shita savra. Repe hesoto toso rabaso. Kosheta. Kosheta so. Ba. Shosabrate. Momrahati. Kerebrebe toso. Lavrebeke tobla. Tobrabokosom. Kosavre. Kosavre boshito kosam. Talavrabohoton. Mamre. Mavre behe sovriata, boca lavre beketo, salavre behe. Cosambaste, 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 mo sacatisha, reheton dorondala mo sabra, ebrabacati broho sovrabacatis, nashtekita, remeketo lavraboho tu sovrabatise, hashke lovra, mombrabacoto, lavra hesi. Ishadan, Ishandon, Dashne, Yaki love, Najidon, Nala, la, 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 Shukota, Sambra, Arara, Undara, la, 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 Kirebre, 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 Bahoso, Lavra, Bahoson, Arahashi, Shukota, Sam, Moseto, Moseto, Koshovre, Tinde, Lavra, Hoto, Lavra, Talavra bakoton dorondola mosi, esha kalavra bakosavre, shukota, mosavra hatinte, ishan, mohata, esheke lavre, egrohola hatishivraba, vosta mahesha, kenanananala mosom, hase, 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 hosakatish, blevro bakoto, hallelujah, 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 thank you, Lord. 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 Vostama, vostama hashikita. Esna hakatishosta vase. Rahatondarandama. Rebeke tovrabakoso. Shukoto sovrabakata. Breste bossa vrabahasinde. Mozavraba koto, broka tavraba hosi vrebeke, tinrenda la bosom, vrosta shitikisa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Vahreheto vrahasi, mostabrikitan, reheto lavraha, herabo kotom, asavraba kosab, toramana marabahoto lavraba kosi. Yeah, 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 right now, hosakata. Yeah, now, hasakatishe. Thank you, Lord. 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 Tell me who that's for, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kusha bakata. Hara hasovra. Shokoto savra. Rebeke tovra. Mostavra savasite. Ishkerovra bakoto. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone in here, and this is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. Right now, you're on the tail end of that situation. Take that right now. You're on the end of it right now. Right now, you're on the end of it. Right now, it's over. It's over. Just get happy because it's over. Just get happy because it's over. It's over. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. The glory is here. Histabas Tosa. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come watch her. You come watch her. You don't want her to dive off there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I can. Whatever you say. Thank you. If you're new to this, this is called joy. Jesus come in with his winnowing fork and he blows the chaff, he blows the wheat up and he blows the chaff out. And you feel like you're at the dentist getting laughing gas and say, do whatever you want to. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little bit drunk there, huh? Yeah. Ooh, glory. No, no. Don't get too close to her. Well, unless you have to catch her. Yeah. don't look at me anymore. Just look at him. Look at him. He'll get it. It's on him. I know you're going, go ahead, let's look. Now, I can't talk. Praise the Lord. Now, thank you. Anybody in here depressed? We're not. You mad at somebody? Anybody who needs a drink, come stand right between us right here. Come here. Right now. Just come stand right here. Y'all better get ready. Get your boys up here. Just come right here. And when you walk right here, this is the tunnel of fire. Go. Go. Hush, devil. Watch it now. Watch it. Watch it. You got people. No tower. Do not fall backwards. Move him.
I'll be good.
Woo! Now watch the baby. You got her. Watch her. The baby's laughing too. Get her, Larry. Just get her. Let's get Miss Kathy, Larry. Let's get Miss Kathy. Now. Here comes one more. All right. Okay, you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Watch out. Break it through. Just break it through. You ready?
Ready.
Dumb. Whoa! Woo! He was ready. We good? Oh, what? Okay. Get him. This is such a religious meeting. We good? All right, everybody sit down. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? Just imagine. What in the world? I'll get used to it. Hey, Art, you know what? I'm going to do the offering at the end. Okay? Because we're not done with this. If you can stand to pick up something, pick up your Bible and go to Amos 9. Now, what's happening? What's happening in that? The Holy Ghost is working on you on the inside. And that joy and that flow is coming up and it's pushing out junk in your soul. So we're not just laughing to cut up. That laughter is coming out because we're being delivered from all the junk that comes along every day. You see that? So praise the Lord. And I believe God was preparing us for what I'm going to say today. I really do. So, praise God. You found Amos?
Yeah.
Good. Pick up little things about meetings. Did you notice there was a match? Always look for the match. It's in a song. It's in a person who gets out there far enough that they go ahead and submit to what the Spirit's doing, and then that's a match, and it begins to light the fires of people. Watch for those kind of things. Amen. Amos 9:11, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up the ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. The tabernacle of David is a type and shadow of Christ and his church. Okay? In the book of Acts, James declared, according to Amos 9:11, that a day would come when God would rebuild and restore the fallen tabernacle of David. The way David worshiped, he didn't worship religiously. He worshiped like a friend, like a servant of God. He did that. It's a vision of unlimited access without curtain and veil. That beckons us, the New Testament church, into deeper waters of praise and worship. It'll beckon you into a closer relationship with God. And listen, when you get close enough to power, you feel it. And so that's what happened today, what's happening right now with us. You feel that power and you react to it. And so we're getting closer and closer as we move into these glory days. And that's why, if this is not normal to you, that's why you see the folks reacting the way they are. But just in case you haven't picked this up, because we're a Word of Faith church. We're going to be word people till Jesus comes. But in case you haven't picked this up, God is calling us to be a house of glory.
Yeah.
He is. And I believe he's forming what we might call a new wineskin for this house, for this ministry. Whereas we realize that quite a bit of things are already in play here, because we do operate in the Spirit. We do lay hands on the sick and they're healed, and we do flow in the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, to tongues and interpretation, prophecy, discerning of spirits. All those operations have been here and there, and they happen here. God wants us to step into more. And so we are people of the Word, certainly, but we are people of the Spirit. And if you stay balanced there, you won't get so out of tune. One of the qualities of a house of glory is the atmosphere. Now, your wood had to really be wet if you didn't sense something today. Even if this kind of made you go, wow, what is this? Why are they being emotional? We're not trying to be emotional. We're not trying to be emotional. We just got real close to the fire. Just got real close. We just drank. And when we drank, things happen. Because we're still here in our flesh, so that overpowers us. I know there's probably not a person in here who hasn't gotten a little shock of some kind in your life from electricity or something. My grandparents had this huge old freezer out in their out in their little, I don't know what it was called. It wasn't really a garage. It was just on the side of their house. And us kids were always trying to get in there to get the ice cream. Well, you had to jump up and put your body on it because we were little and open those things. And that thing was not grounded. I think Papa did that on purpose because he liked his ice cream. But I remember getting shocked by that thing. It didn't deter me from getting what was in it. Somehow I found a way, but man, whoop, that thing was, it was something. Well, that's kind of how we feel when we get into these spiritual things. Amen. So don't think that we're crazy. Now, well, praise the Lord. So, but with this spiritual atmosphere, we get spiritual partnership and with the Spirit of God. And that's what we're looking for. And we see that type of blueprint in the New Testament church in the upper room. In the upper room, they were in one accord. Yeah. That's just what we just did. As they led us in the praise and worship, we got into one accord, and the Spirit came and joined us in the way He chose to. Now, I've seen times when everybody just gets quiet. They're just quiet. There are, but this seemed to be a time where laughter was at hand. See, God will do different things and move different ways in the Spirit, and we just need to get used to it and enjoy it. Amen. But the one accord thing is so important. They worshiped and they prayed in one accord. They all got on the same page. Now, let's just back up for just a minute. I want to talk to you about a few things. In the benchmark of success in church services has become more about attendance than Holy Spirit. If you look around in today's churches, that's just true. Now, some of you aren't old enough to know this, but I'm going to tell you that in the 1980s and the 90s, churches shifted to seeker-friendly, and it was more entertainment. Okay? We've all watched it. We've all seen it. And, you know, Holy Spirit went to the back room. Amen. And there just wasn't much going on. Except that it did alleviate some boredom for a couple hours for people. It did. But this is what happened. It filled our churches with self-focused consumers rather than self-sacrifice servants being attuned to the Spirit of God. See what I'm saying? And so that happened over a period of time. So people just kind of go into church because they know they need to go to church. They know they need to serve God. But at the same time, they're not letting Holy Spirit do anything, change any lives, do anything, because, you know, it's just not going to. They thought that that would chase people off. Okay. And where it is true, there are some people that are so much in their flesh and so afraid of what God could do, they might run out of the building. But I'm telling you, they would be back. Yeah. Once you feel the power of God, you want some more of it.
That's right.
Amen. There's no high like the Most High. Amen. So the entertainment model creates meetings where people are taught how to attend services rather than to move in the power and the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to come in. You can get your coffee. You can fellowship. Or then there's those that are going to come in at 9:59, grab a seat, see what's going on, give an offering and go, and that's it. That's not what we're looking for. That's not what, well, I say that's not what God's looking for. Some people are. we want to move in the power and the gifts because we want to see lives change. Jesus didn't talk about and do miracles for nothing. He didn't leave us the power of the Holy Spirit for nothing. He didn't tell us all things are possible for nothing. We are called to to flow in the Spirit. Now, I'm sure that you are aware that we are a church that has been planted apostolically. Most of you, I'm looking around, know us well enough to know that we are. And, you know, we have leaders. We were sent. We planted. We weren't hired. There's no elders here that hired me to come do this job. I planted this church apostolically. So we're not what we call elder run. We're not even really board run, although we do have a board and the board does make decisions. That's true. But we follow what Holy Spirit says to do, and we're going to continue to flow like that. Have we missed it? Oh, sure. Who hasn't missed it in something? But we choose to continue to move forward and make those corrections and do what Holy Spirit wants us to do. And then have spiritual leaders that we can look to and be covered by and things like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you can receive this, and I believe you can, you must become aware, and I think most of you probably are, aware of fivefold giftings and how they work and flow. Apostles, let me say this to you. Once again, when I was growing up, and I've actually been here a lot longer than many of you, but in the 50s, the 60s, yes, I was actually here in the 50s. Can you believe it? But the apostles and prophets were never heard of. You only heard of pastors, evangelists, and Sunday school teachers. That's just the truth. That's what you heard of. Okay. Something new is going to just bloom just like a rose. It's going to just bloom just like a rose very quickly. It's going to be kind of like that Beauty and the Beast rose that stayed under that and never, and just, it won't, I'm just using the example of how it was covered. And it's just going to stay. Just that rose is just going to stay alive and on fire, if you will. It's just going to, the life is just going to continue to beat in this particular thing that is coming up in your heart. And it's just going to go, poof, in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name. So, you know, when I was a kid, and I know Bill could add to this, and some of you others, but you went to the church and there was a pastor, and then there were Sunday school teachers, and then there were deacons. And then the business meeting was on Wednesday night where everybody fought. Oh, well, praise the Lord. We'll leave that alone. Anyway, but in the end of the 80s and the 90s, apostles and prophets began to be restored and began to be called who they were. And God never intended for apostles and prophets to be shut out, but the way denominations were made, because they had these dioceses and things over them, all we knew were pastors and priests. Right. Yeah. Certainly they're anointed, but we didn't know what we know, we knew as we came into the Holy Spirit, and our types of churches knew it, but the world didn't know it, didn't recognize it. And then our types of churches became more aware. Now, when this happened in the 90s, it went into the ditch. I can remember, I don't know if Bill and Ron remember this, but we had a guy come along here and say, he came once and he said, I think I'm supposed to be your apostle. That people were trying to sign up to be church's apostles. Now that was the ditch, right? Am I right? Apostle means sent one. It's a fatherhood type of spirit thing. And it's someone who starts things. The apostle Paul. The Apostle John, they started things. It was like a spirit of fatherhood, a spirit of motherhood type thing. It had nurturing to it. And it just too much more to talk about right now for where we're going. But now, apostles and prophets are recognized in the church. There are still denominational people who think that this is strange and they don't understand it. You know, we can go right down the middle of this thing. We don't have to be in a ditch about it either way. Are you with me? Okay. Here's the thing, church. Apostles and prophets are Christ-centered. Now, you'll see what I mean. You're going like, well, so am I. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But you're going to see what I mean. They can't function properly in a house where the worship and prayer is man-centered. They can't do what they do if there's not some power flowing. Come on. So they actually need this to push them and help them flow in what they need to flow in. I see you totally get that. So when worship songs and intercession are focused on self gratification or personal needs. Now you're going to have to walk with me because there may be something you have to shake off here, but I believe you can. It disrupts the grace and the anointing that God has placed on foundation or layers, if you will, these layers. It doesn't work if it's just, you know, all right, let's have a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you and, you know, and if it be thy will. And I'm just so glad people know something and they want to pray, but prayer is so much deeper than that. So if we're doing self-centered prayer or self-centered worship or entertainment, we're off center for who we are. All right? So it's very important that we really pray through these things. Church, apostles and prophets refuse to pioneer without the glory. And they get a little irritated. Come on. They start, am I right? They just get a little irritated in where they're going because things don't get high enough. I hope I'm helping you. So that's kind of what you see when there's a little bit of, I'm going to say, frustration in the spirit. It's not people getting mad at people. They don't get mad at people. They just get frustrated. Brother Copeland used to say this. He would say this. He said, when I go to preach, I can see way out there. And he acts like he's seen way out on a long road where you could see way up, you know, kind of like when you go out toward New Mexico and you can see like a mile down the road. It's like he could see way out there, but he would get frustrated if he couldn't get far enough. That's what he would kind of be telling us. That he wanted to get out there. He wanted us to get to go as far as we could go. Yeah. Amen. So, apostles and prophets are, I'm going to say it like this, and I know this will help you. They're allergic to environments where catering to the needs of people is the top priority. Now hold it there because you're going to go, isn't that what the church does? That catering to the needs of the people is top priority? Actually, the answer is no. Now, walk with me and you'll get this because certainly right now, what we're doing right now is dealing with your needs and helping you come up even by this preaching, even by the leading of the worship, by the prayer we had earlier, by when we all bring our goods together and take them to Kevin and when we all give to one another and when we bring the Jews home and when we do all these things we're doing when we meet all these needs and sometimes the church will help someone in the church get through a financial, all those things we do. And they're important. And praying for your healing and all those things are important, but they're not top. It's not top. And that's another thing that would frustrate us and does frustrate us if we don't, we can't be bound to programs. Okay. Now, Lord, help me with this because I want to say it right. Not top priority, important. It's important to meet needs. I want to say that. So don't walk out of here saying, Pastor says it's not important to meet needs. I didn't say that. It is important. Important. We want to help you fulfill your call.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But apostles and prophets are presence based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pastors should be too. Presence based. In other words, the most important thing to us is following the Spirit of God. So when someone knocks on the door and says, can you give me gas money? We don't go, yes. We go, let's pray and see. And if God says yes, we give. If God says no, we pray for them. And God fulfills their needs somewhere else. Because you see what I'm saying? So we're presence based or Holy Spirit based, led by the Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you, that keeps you out of a lot of trouble. That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble just to be Holy Spirit led. And so if we get into being program based, then our expertise is not functioning, because our expertise is taking dead, dry religious organizations and peoples and cities and regions and turning them into Spirit-filled fiery places, organisms, bringing life to them, bringing light to them. That's the job, see? And then that helps meet the needs of the people. Once again, this is that thing of not putting the cart before the horse, which seems to be the theme that's always here. You know, we want to be going the right way with this. Now, all the programs, I'm not denying that they're good, and if churches aren't Spirit-filled, all they have is programs, so bless their hearts. That's good, that's okay. But that's not who God called us to be. We're just a bunch of Spirit-filled people. We're a Spirit-filled ministry, and we're gonna follow God. We wanna be close to Him. We wanna move with Him. We wanna do what He says. Because we don't want good ideas, we want God ideas. Praise the Lord. Ooh, what a good day. So, a sharp focus on vertical worship and prayer is the right atmosphere, and that's our goal. Vertical relationships. Okay? And when you have these things, they suffocate. I mean, they don't suffocate. They'll keep us from suffocating, listen to me, the next generation. They'll keep us from suffocating the next apostles and prophets, the next pastors and teachers, the next ministers. If we just sell them programs, we just tell y'all, now just do this, just go out and witness. Or if we just say, just go out and give goods, we haven't impacted you so that you could apprehend what you've been apprehended for. We've got to come to you with spirit, with presence, with purpose, with the word, to see that we deliver our next generation so that they can work through this awakening with the power of God and win the lost all over the world. So that's our job. We are multi-generational for a purpose. What Ron has, what Bill has, that's for Irie. That's for Nene. That's for Avery. All these guys. This is for Kendall. This is for your grandchildren. What we're putting in you is, this is going to cause Presley to come in, and she'll never know. She'll never know, well, I wonder if it's God's will to heal. She'll never have to cross that. She'll be raised knowing that it's God's will to heal.
Hallelujah.
All of your babies will know. Because you were raised that way. And so we want to raise the house when this house will continue. But this house is going to continue as a house of glory. It's not going to continue as a house of, well, let's just do some programs and we'll see y'all on Sunday and Wednesday and hope y'all do okay. No. This is a place where God gets to be in charge and where God gets to present Himself to us as we want Him to.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you know, and if you're like, well, okay, you'll wake up. Because we're in the Great Awakening.
Amen.
We don't want to suffocate the next generation.
That's
I don't want to suffocate some of you that are 30 and 40. I don't want to suffocate that generation by what I do. Amen. Walk with me. We're getting to some places now. The Church of the Living God was birthed and has been sustained by corporate prayer.
Yeah.
You gotta get that.
Yeah.
It's not just worship. It's corporate prayer.
Yeah.
Things that are planted happened because somebody prayed. You got saved because somebody prayed. You got prosperous because somebody prayed. You got blessed. You ended up here because somebody prayed. You came into the right atmosphere. It might have been your grandmother.
Yeah.
And you may have gone through religious churches and all kinds of stuff, and they helped you along your way. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's help along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you come into the call of God on your life, and you realize that you're a prayer and a worshiper. And you're called to be a prayer and a worshiper on your way to work, worshiping God, not worrying, worshiping, on your way to where you're going, lifting up Jesus when you see people, responding in church and not, you know, just be sitting there. Amen, which you guys do. And I'm so grateful for that. It has been said, this is interesting to me, that Sunday morning shows how popular the church is, Sunday night shows how popular the pastor is, and prayer meetings show how popular God is.
Wow.
Yeah, well, something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that it is the prayer meeting that is the very thing that launches, ignites, changes, causes the preachers to be able to preach what they need to preach, changes things. Danny was, we were praying, and Danny started praying about a particular person in the town. And lo and behold, she prayed ahead of what happened. That's what we do. You get downloaded with what's going on. You get ahead of the plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You're the voice. You're the road crew.
Yeah.
Miss Hammond taught us that. You're the road crew. You're tearing out those valleys. You're tearing down those mountains, and the King of Glory can come in.
Yeah.
He can get into places. He can get into hearts. He can get into clients. He can get into countries, nations.
Yes.
He can get into your leaders when you know that they need to see something. Amen. I appreciate the prayer. I know all the leaders do. I'm sure all the bosses in the room appreciate people praying for them. There are popular preachers and churches all over the world. All over the world. But there's a God in heaven that can be largely forgotten. Everybody's just like, oh yeah, that preacher. Oh yeah, that preacher. But we all need to remember they're connected to the Master. They're connected to the Master. We need to look at the Master. We need to think about the Master, and we need to focus on Him some. Well, their program looked good, so I think we'll do that leadership because their program looked good. Well, what did the Master say? Well, this looked like a good soul winning program, but what did the Master say? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
We're still on that plane of being spirit led. We must have a generations of apostles and apostolic churches that pray in tongues. That's not strange, church. And that don't just claim merely to be spirit filled. Well, you know, I was spirit-filled in 1976, way before Danny was born. And so, you know, that little whippersnapper, I'm good, you little whippersnapper. Well, what are you doing now? How many times have you been continually being filled up? How close are you to Father? Are you friends? How much do you pray in the Spirit? Because that is what's needed if we're going to get the great awakening into the next phase.
True.
We can preach till we're red in the face, like Pastor John. But the truth is the prayer. It's the prayer that is going to get us where we're going. It's the prayer. It's the prayer in your life that gets you where you're going. And it, you know, life shouldn't be, God, this is Roxy. I don't know if you remember me, but, you know, no connection, connection, able to step right into it. You could just step right into it. One of the things about being a word church is it's real easy to step into things because most of the people in the church are filled up with the word and they're in their faith all the time. So it's easier to step into things. But I tell you what, it sure helps a whole lot when everyone's come to the corporate prayer, when the power of God is pushed up another level, when people are, we can have this attitude, I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Well, so what? I don't feel like doing a lot of things. I've had to fight the good fight of faith for over a week. But I didn't change my plans. I didn't change my plans. I mean, they watched me hang my head. I'm going. I'm doing it. Yeah. And every time God met me, every time. And I came to the tail end of it. And praise the Lord. God is good. But we just have to do that. I love what Pastor Burt said last night. He said, we just don't quit. We don't quit. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter. You just don't quit. What would you quit to? That's another subject. I got to get going. Okay. So... let me see where we should go next. Lord, lead me. Yeah, let me just say this about prayer and then we'll move on. The biggest change comes when the prayer meetings fill up. When the prayer meetings fill up. And we're so blessed. We have the thermostats. They see us come on and boom, boom, boom. They start praying. They're a prayer team and that prayer team is locked out. We lock people out of it. This prayer team is for people who want to pray. It's no offense to anyone. It's just that if you don't want to do that, we're not going to cast our pearls, so to speak, because we're going to pray for things that are kind of secret things sometimes. And we're not saying we need to pray for Myrtle because she been out there just backslidden and did you know her mother? No, it's not that kind of stuff. It's straight off the Spirit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Myrtle. Things are changing in this time. People are starting to pray. People are starting to pray. And the biggest change comes is when we ramp up the prayer. Because we must have a generation of Spirit-filled apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers come up after us and come in here with us. Follow me because I'm going to talk a little bit about that too. But we have to do this. A Sunday morning service and a midweek Bible study is not a church plant. Prayer and worship need to take preeminence before other activities. We need to connect with God. We want to be a house with an atmosphere filled with fresh fragrance of true worship. Amen. We don't want to come and be entertained. Look how cute Pastor Deb is today. But look, Pastor Deb and Debbie are the same height. No, wait a minute. Debbie Clark's a little shorter. Ooh, look at that Sister Jessie. She can see. I mean, you can go on about the beauty of everybody. We love each other so much, but we're looking about the beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. We want to look beyond ourselves. The whole theme of the meeting we've been in Kerrville is to get yourself out of the center. Stop thinking about yourself all the time and think about other people. Poor me. Oh me. What about me? What about me? What am I going to do? Don't try to take that away from me, God. Oh, what will I? Oh, they didn't notice me or da-da-da or da-da-da. They never call on me or da-da-da-da. Me. Get it out of the way. As long as you have me in the middle, they're not going to call on you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm mad because so-and-so didn't, In the words of Gloria Copeland, get over it. Okay, now, so. We don't fix our attention on the worship leader or the preacher. We fix our attention on Jesus. A lovesick bridegroom is going to move upon the bride and override the order of church services. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming. And he's going to override what we do in these services.
Yeah.
And he's going to have his way, whether we have preaching or just prayer or just worship or just laughing.
Yeah.
Or just Shekinah glory.
Yeah.
Just people call it Shekinah. I think in Hebrew it's Shekinah. But it, just whatever God wants to do. So I'm asking you to adjust. You won't be taught how to attend church. We'll just do what God wants to do.
Amen.
In spirit and in power. So things may begin to look a little different in this house of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, we want presence-based and not program-based. So I want to encourage you now. Stop rotting in the pew. I know that sounds harsh. And get up to the front lines and pray.
Yeah.
I don't mean that as an insult. We've all done, we've all not done what we need to do, but stop just sitting there and watching.
Yeah.
And then going out and your life never changes. Say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to step up. If they're calling me to step up to leadership, I'm going to step up to leadership. If they're calling me to wait a minute, I'm going to wait a minute. If they're calling me to do this, then I'm going to do it. If God's, and I'm going to say they, I mean Holy Spirit. Whatever he's calling for, we're going to do. If he calls us just to sit here and pray the whole time. Because we're not, you didn't come here to be entertained. You came here to do the will of God. You're not an audience. We are built together. You can have a pile of rocks and they do nothing. But if you build them together, they become a fireplace. Burn, baby, burn.
Yes.
And we're a fireplace.
Yes, we are.
We are assembled. We're an assembly. We are gathered together, but we are assembled together to make something happen in the spirit. Because you don't know right now that because you're so focused right now, you don't know whose life in here is being changed forever. It's not just while the preacher's preaching. Well, I hope they do a good job, some people. No, it's about what you're doing in the pew. Are you praying? Are you listening? Right now, you could be downloading something from God. I'm talking about this. You could be downloading an answer you've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen over and over and over.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. We'll start finishing up here. Three songs, an offering, and a message are not the requirements. Not entertainment over participation in glory encounters. Okay. We certainly have meetings with purpose. We do. We understand that. We understand teaching meetings. We understand prayer meetings. We understand what goes on. That's the purpose we have these things. We're certainly sticking to that. But in those meetings, we're still listening to Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I really believe that in the future, that this is what, you might want to write this down if you want to know. This is what our ministry is going to look like. I'm going to tell you right now. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, team ministry.
Mm.
Number two, family. Number three, fathering and mothering.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
That's what our ministry is going to look like. It's going to be about us raising each other up, encouraging each other, working together as teams, flowing in the spirit as people who are a family. Amen. You receive that? So the question then today is, do you really want to see the will of God done? The question is, do you care, or is life just about you? Are you willing to move into pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling? Are you willing to? Are you willing to say yes? Because he'll surely ask you to do something probably that you've never done before. And you'll have to be willing to get your flesh out of the way and say yes. And there'll be times when you may just have to drag yourself up to do what you need to do, but you can do it. Amen. And I'm not telling you there's always time for rest. In fact, there's some times when I've wanted to do something and God said, no, you need to rest. You need to be quiet and rest. You need to not go. And then there's times when he's told me, get up and go because you're going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever, y'all know, you put that in whatever frame you need to put that in. No, I need to do this. No, I need to pray. All right, write down to who you listen to. Mm-hmm. Write to who you listen to. Judge that. Let the Spirit of God judge that. Are you listening to what you need to be listening to? I'm talking about preachers because we all listen to a lot of preachers. Okay. So who's in the center of your life? How far will you go to see lives come into the kingdom? How far will you go? Church, this is almost over. This is going to be over. And even if our children see another 100 years, it's almost over for me. I've only got about 50 years left. So if I only have about 50 years, that's because I'm going to go see Jesus. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to want to go see. But in this time, what am I going to do with it? People are going to hell every day. See, you don't think about that, but they are. They need to come into the kingdom. And so God can ignite us. When I was preaching last night, I was telling everybody, Riley's over there today, and I was saying, get the grace that's on him. And then you'll be like Pastor Deb. She won the Amazon guy, the girl on the spam call, the whatever. She just goes down the line and just says, I know you're not going to die today, but if you were, would you go to heaven? That's all she just says. And sometimes they say yes. The trash man the other day, the trash man, okay. The trash man said, yes, ma'am, I have Jesus in my heart. Some of the spam people, I think, may have hung up, but some of the spam people, okay. The insurance lady, oh, I'll see you in heaven. You know, I mean, Deb just goes after it. There's a grace for that. Yes. Like, I don't want to do that. There's a grace for us to do it. Yes. We have to say yes to it. Truth. I'll tell you the truth. I'm working on that. Because I'm not really, I don't walk through the store going, who can I win to Jesus? I am A to B. I get the produce. I get the meat. I get the soup stuff. I get the fajita seasoning. I'm in charge of getting the cheese, the milk, and the butter. And I'm going. And in the Christmas season, I can get the brie, the hummus. And what? Yeah, and the prime rib. And the horseradish. But I mean, Danny's lived with us long. I do the same thing every year. I go get this. And Deb sends me a list. I don't care. I'm going to get this and this and this. But just don't forget those blueberries, whatever you do.
Thank you.
And then Deb buys 95 toilet papers. Right, John? Yeah. So Danny and Jordan now live next door to us, and Danny said, I will never have to worry about running out of toilet paper.
We've got some.
Amanda and Art lived there for a while. They never had to worry about it. It was there. Now, I don't think y'all ever needed it, but it was there, and they knew it, you know. I mean, it's stacked up. Praise the Lord. Okay. That's not part of my sermon, but it's funny. I'm going to start noticing. I'm going to start paying attention. Because believe me, in the spirit world, I look at everything. Now, what's that about? Now, what's that? Now, what's God saying? Now, what? Now, why did they preach what they preached? And what is that? I'm like that. I know you are, too. You're focused on all those kinds of things. I just need to be focused on this outer world sometimes because, I mean, on the plane, y'all understand, I sit next to the window and Deb protects me. And then Danny and Jordan or Art and Amanda, I don't want to talk to anybody. I tell Deb what the flight attendant should get me to drink. Cause I'm shy.
What?
I'm almost finished. But I'm going to have to look up. And sometimes I do, and I pray for that person. Now, in my life, my constant prayer life, people just come up. Lord, I lift up Larry today. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Lord, Hector, da-da-da-da-da. I'll just do that. Irie, whatever Irie's doing today, Lord, da-da-da. And then there'll be just these names that come up that I don't know them. You do it too? And you just pray for these people. I do that. But I need to to be a witness out here and look up some. And on purpose. I believe that you're drawn to the people you're supposed to minister to. I don't think you just need to run out there and, because if you hit someone at the wrong time, you could do them more damage. But if you know your timing and you're aware, you feel that, go ahead and move on that. Then you can just move on it. Okay. Okay. Here's the last thing and we'll close. 8 qualities of great facilitators of ministries and meetings. Now this is important. And we'll close with this, but if you want to write these down or you can get them from me later. These are 8 qualities of great facilitators of meetings. You're a facilitator, right? Are you? Okay. Number 1, you possess humility. You possess humility. Number 2, have a sincere desire to see others share what they have received from the Lord. You want to know what's gone on with Lizzie.
Yeah.
You want to know what's gone on with Salvador. You want to know what's gone on with Bobby. You want to know what's gone on. You're interested in other people. And we need to be interested in other people enough that we don't cut them off with turning it back to us. See, I got this real pretty scarf and it's real pretty. Oh, I have 2 of those. And now that's a real simple example, but how about first saying, yeah, that is pretty. We all need help with that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Number 3, you do not want to use your role as a platform to preach. Just because you have certain opportunities and you're about to do something, you don't just start preaching your agenda. You don't do that. Amen. Number 4, benefit from a sound background in biblical studies. So you're studied up. You're showing yourself approved.
Yeah.
This is what helps facilitate meetings. As Chris was telling me, before Christmas, he said, man, I have filled up my total journal with all this stuff. I gotta run out and get me a new one. He's in the middle of his studies. He's working on something. Your Bible's not totally white. You've underlined some scriptures. You're thinking about them. You're praying. You're studying. You're understanding what some things mean. Okay. And then you possess a heart and attitude of love. Never, 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 ever accuse a servant of God to their master. I don't care what they've done. I don't care. I heard Bill Johnson said this and it touched my heart. He said there are 2 huge ministries that are just, they're just out to get me. They build their world around proving that we're wrong. And 1 smaller ministry, he said. He said, every day after I finish praying for my family and all my kids, I pray for them, but I'm not praying this. Lord, get them. Or Lord, I pray they get straightened out. Or Lord, I hope they see the light and see what they have done to us. No, he prays about their prosperity. He prays about their health. He prays that they do good. Bless those that persecute you. You might be gritting your teeth when you want to pray it, but after a while it'll get comfortable to you and you'll have a true heart. And let me tell you something, and I don't have time to go over this a lot, but that's when your sonship manifests and your light shines bright and everything will start pulling into you fast.
Yeah.
things run away from you when you get hateful about other people.
Wow.
They run away from you. But when you start loving, here comes the money, here comes the favor, here comes the blessing, and here comes the people.
Wow.
That's the truth. People will stay away from you when you're mad at other people. People stay away from you if you're angry with people all the time. Let God deal with people. Just let God deal with people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I have what? That was number five. Here's number six. Go into meetings without trying to have one of your own personal needs met. Now, I understand sometimes we come to church saying, I'm going to get healed today. That's fine. Or I've got something I'm thinking about. But not just the whole thing being, somebody better help me. That's victim mentality.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me. So you go around to every member of the church, did you know I need this? And then you've told everybody in the church what you need, and everybody's starting to walk away from you. Right? Praise the Lord. It got quiet in the church, but we understand this. It's not all just about us coming in here and getting something from somebody.
Yep.
Number seven, you're sensitive to your comments, your facial expressions, and your body language when you respond to other people. You're sensitive about it. You're not just, or... So, you watch yourself. You watch that smirk on your face. Praise the Lord. You watch your body language with people. These are, remember what we're doing, the qualities of great facilitators. You're helping people. You're helping people when they come in here. See, you don't realize how much of a minister you are.
Exactly.
When you come through the door.
Yeah.
I told Deb, I said, I really appreciate Jessie Wallace. I said, she may go through some stuff, but she didn't ever have a bad day when she steps in here. She's smiling. She's treating people good. She's never going around. I said, and this is what Jesse calls me, Pastor. Hi, Pastor. And she's on the up. And I mean, I know you've actually had to overcome some stuff lately. It doesn't matter. She's still smiling. She still did her job. She's still working. So what'd she have to do? She had to make a choice. She had to make a choice. Amen. You just have to make those choices. And we appreciate if you're contagious that you don't come up here on that time. You wait. It's appreciated. But when you're not, come on up here and get healed. Amen. All right. Number seven. Number eight. Oh, the last one. You're able to correct and instruct if necessary. Now, this is an interesting territory. You want to watch yourself because not everybody needs you pointing the finger at them. If you're correcting, it needs to be something like, oh, is there anything I can help you with? That kind of thing. Or, if it's with someone else's children or something, you can say, hey, should I handle this or should you? Do you want to? It's that kind of thing. That's what we always said at the daycare. You want me to handle this? Or do you want to handle it? We said that in children's church because, you don't want to give off the thing of, man, your kid's a brat. Well, they may be, but that's not your job to, you just say, do you want to handle this? And of course the parent will then respond in this church will respond with, yes, I will handle it. Okay. So then if you're just need to bring correction, let's say where someone's parking or how they're coming in or how they're going out or those kinds of things, you do it with the right attitude. You do it with a good attitude. You're not standing in front of the door going, don't you dare. Amen. Y'all receive that? So we're a house of glory now. If you receive that, we're a house of glory. We're gonna move. I'm telling you, the power of God is going to hit this place stronger and stronger and stronger. And let's receive our offering. Praise the Lord. All right. Go over to Genesis 12:1. We'll receive our offering. We're ahead of schedule. Praise the Lord. Did y'all like this? Y'all just really seem like you really caught on to what we're saying. Okay. I prayed a lot about this, about delivering this word, because I know that sometimes we just get in these flows, and but we're not people of the flesh. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram." Okay. I'm already getting something. Okay. 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 You want me back up on this? Okay, do this now. Okay. All right. So, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." Sometimes you just gotta start.
Yeah.
You gotta start. Thank you. Okay, I know where we're going. All right, you ready? Throwing my notes away because we're gonna do what Holy Ghost says. You just have to start. So once again, I'm gonna tell you the big tractor story. We rented a building. It was for a little ministry that we had. We were down in Reedville, Texas. That's close to Lockhart and San Marcos. We needed a space to put the people who wanted to hear what we were saying about Brother Copeland, so we rented this building. And it was bad. I mean, it was torn up. It was a mess. But we were going to do it anyway. We're going to fix it up because we're pioneers. That's what we've always done. We just go in and do it because we always just start. So we decided just to start this thing. And so the grass was like chest high. And Deb says, "I'm going down there and I'm going to mow." And I says, "Like, praise the Lord, go on down there." Now, yeah, y'all don't be mad at me. I mow now. I'm the mower.
You are.
But John and Deb are the weed eaters. So I'm mowing. Okay. But she's pushing the lawnmower. So she's pushing the lawnmower. And I mean, she's going, y'all know how it is. Remember when you had to push the lawnmower? You go, and you just barely get in. And so 2 minutes into it, the county worker comes with the biggest tractor you've ever seen. And he says, "Move over, ma'am. I'll knock this all down for you." And he knocked it all down. Just start.
Yes.
Just obey God. And the big tractor, the big finance, the big money will come to you.
Yeah.
Just give. Just tithe.
Yeah.
Bobby Gage told me, he said, "Man, I never knew what life could be when you tithe on the gross." He said, "My income tripled." My income just tripled when I tithed on the gross. I'm on him to get up here and tell that. But, all he did was start. I mean, he hadn't been around here but a few years. And he just picked it up and went, "I'm going to do that." And he did it. And I'm telling you, he met God. Now, that's exactly what Abraham did here. Abraham met God. He went out to Melchizedek after he got Lot free and all that stuff. And he tithed when he won the war. He tithed to the Most High God. What was he doing? He was allowing the connection to happen and the blessing to kick in. Because God told him that he would be blessed, that God would bless him, empower him to prosper, and that he would be so prosperous, and he was. He'd be so prosperous that he could bless other people. Well, that's what we're looking for. We want to be so blessed that we can bless others. Where does that start? Tithing and giving. Doing it by faith, just starting. And when I say tithing, I don't mean just giving your 10 cents on the dollar. I mean honoring God with words about that. Amen? Saying something about it. Amen? So let's do that right now. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
Church, I want to tell you something. The big tractor's coming. We're going to have a windfall like we've never had before, and we've had some really big windfalls in this church. I'm talking payoff church building windfalls. You're going to have some windfalls. You want to be debt-free, this is your year to get it to happen. God is going to do things like he's never done before. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and you don't know how to figure that out, and you shouldn't. Just let God do it. There's a million ways God can bless you. I remember a story of some old woman that went out and she was looking in this barrel out in the back, and a couple of rats ran out of it, and it was just pretty gross. And all of a sudden she looked down in there, and there's about $1 million laying in there all piled up in hundreds inside I don't know if it was $1 million, but it was a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I mean, God could do anything.
Yeah.
He could give you one idea.
Yeah.
He could give you a song. He could give you a plan. He could give you an inheritance. He could give you some oil wells that are actually producing, and people are not cheating you out of the money. They're sending it to you in Jesus' name. He could just do anything he wants to. He has a way to do it. He has a way. If you'll just get thee out of your own self and step into the place, praise the Lord. So hold up your tithe and offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak the blessing once again. The blessing is functioning for us and in us. We are empowered to prosper. Yes. And just like Abraham, right now, we back everything. We call back everything that was stolen. We call in our finances for giving, for projects. Thank you, Lord. For living, for future. For our children, for our grandchildren, the windows of heaven are open and the blessing is pouring out. The devourer is rebuked. We sow our trust in you by tithing and giving today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brothers. You see that today?
Yes.
We have one more thing on our agenda I like what Pastor Burke calls them, the host. As the hosts are picking up. By the way, if you'd like to give via text message, VCHL on the amount you want to give, 2573256. I'm in a hurry, but we got to go. Okay, so you can give that way. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. I got to tell y'all something. Most of you already know this, but are we good? All right. We are going to get involved in church planting around the world.
Hallelujah.
What's the t-shirt say? A local church with a global calling. That's what Victory Church is. A local church with a global calling. Now, I understand you have lots of seed. Start harvesting it from Aliyah, things like that. Well, what we're going to do next is we're going to plant and help plant some churches. We're going to plant a church. But I'm not going to travel down and plant it. Well, I might, actually. I'm not going to say that. Erase that. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Pastor Mac and Lynn are going to plant 50 churches in the next 5 years. As a church, we're going to become their partners. Yeah. So you are in on it right now that you are going to do that, okay? And so what they're doing is, there are levels to get involved. $200,000 will totally plant, a whole church. And if you become that kind of member in there, you get to actually get on their plane with them and go cut the ribbon. And I'm putting my eye on that, but don't despise small beginnings. The first thing we're going to do is send $2,000. Okay. So I want you to pray about what you want to give in that $2,000. That's really easy, and I'm going to tell you why it's really easy. And I haven't even talked to you about this, but you'll say yes. Out of our traveling funds, out of our anchor, we're going to go ahead and give the $1,000.
Praise God.
Okay. So that leaves $1,000 that this company right here needs to raise. So that's just a few dollars from everybody, okay? So for those of you that want to be part of the church planning, next time we're together, whenever, later on, whatever, just make sure you have an envelope and you put church plant on it. And we'll know that it'll go into that last $1,000. We'll send $2,000 as a seed, and we're going to name that seed $200,000. And we are going to be the senders right now, like we do with the other preachers. We send a lot of people around the world, church.
Yeah.
We could give you a list. You're involved in a lot of this.
Yeah.
But I specifically, Pastor Mac has been doing this for years, but now he's stepping up out of his pastorate, and he's his next generation, they're doing all of it, and he is actually building an airline.
Yeah.
He's had it in his heart to have a non-profit airline.
Yes.
Now we got to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Because our themes is free to move about the earth.
True.
To go anywhere God needs you to go, whether it's Tyler or Fort Worth or Israel or wherever. Got Rome, the Caribbean, wherever God wants to send or us send someone, we want to be a part of that, because we're going to do what that scripture said about going into all the world. So now, here's what I want to tell you. Before you start feeling like, oh, they're asking for something. No, God provides the seed.
Right.
Pray and ask Him for the seed.
Yeah.
And then we'll take what comes in. We'll send it to the Hammonds. We'll sow the seed. And I'm believing God that $200,000 is going to come in and we're going to be able to give them that to plant a whole church. And if some of you want to go, maybe we can go down there when they do it, wherever it is. I'm going to think probably some of the areas like South America. I don't know if they're going to do Mexico or not. They already have churches like in Belarus and places like that, but you can watch them on TV on the Victory Channel and you can see what they're doing. But the Lord really led me to this. He's really pricked my heart about it, and I know you'll be on board with it. Are you good? Okay, let's stand up. Be praying. Remember, when you're partners for someone, it's not just about money. It's about praying. That's bigger than the money. Money's the lowest power. Prayer's the highest power. But the seed will come. The seed will come, and we will see the fruit of it. Now, what's going to happen when we sow a church? We're going to reap a harvest right here. We're going to reap a huge harvest right here. Okay. Father, we pray over Rome, Italy today. We pray over Rome and the Vatican there. And in the name of Jesus, let your will be done there, Lord. Father, we thank you for the great awakening in Rome. We thank you, Lord, for lives changing in all those beautiful places where they could see so many beautiful things, but we declare they see you. You are the beautiful one. We thank you that they see and receive you. Father, we pray for those in the Vatican City. Let your will be done there. Let your will be done in that place in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray for Israel today. We thank you for wisdom and safety for all Israelis today in Jesus' name. We pray for President Trump today, and we thank you, Lord, that he is strong. And we thank you, Lord. We pray for all those and for who are doing the right thing. We thank you that they're strong in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the right thing happening at the right time in 2024 in Jesus' name. And we pray for those who have persecuted us. We declare they're blessed in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Amen, Bradley.